afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, November 12th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
I'm doing just great on this cold and snowy day on Eastern Shore. I'll tell you what.
Yep, it got cold here last night. It got down to high teens last night, and I think high got today about 22. It's supposed to be colder tonight and warm up back in the 50s in a day or two. But, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You take it one day at a time. In a little bit, I'll share what the Farmer's Almanac says about this winter, and I don't like what it says.
Then don't tell me.
Okay, you plug yours up. I read this one then. Okay.
Okay. Well, I think the listeners should open their ears on this one. At least we had a little bit of a positive in gold today in the New York spot price aftermarket. We're looking at gold up $1,458. Silver, though, still down 6 pennies at 1688. Platinum was down 4 at 873. And palladium was up 12 at 1704. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. The USDX today was up 0.14 at 98.34. And crude oil was down 7 at 56.79. Is that your printer or my printer?
I don't hear anything.
It was my printer, and they know better than to print during my programs. But anyway, it makes noise.
It does, but I didn't hear it, so you're okay. As long as I don't hear it, you're all right.
Yeah, but you're old. Just kidding. You're a good old. You're
goodness.
A young old.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Call me bad names on there and everything.
Just go ahead.
We have the Dow just basically holding even today at 27,691. NASDAQ was up 21 at 8,486. The S&P was up 4 at 3,091. 10-year yield, 1.91%. It was all green, and all the Asian and European markets were still greedy. Everything is pretty much in the green today. And, there's some sort of an urgency that is growing by the day for a trade deal with China. I didn't have the opportunity to see Trump's speech. I don't know what time he was supposed to give that today. But, I saw a tweet. I'll be happy when these tweets. Anyway, I saw a tweet today, and he said, what a great... It was the stock market hitting record highs. What a great economy we have. Ladies and gentlemen, the stock market is not the economy.
Amen.
It is not the economy. But that is what we've been conditioned to believe. That if the stock markets are good, are high, making records, that the economy is great, that we have a great economy, and that's not the case. So it frustrates me when I, as happy as he might be with the stock market hitting these record highs, it's not the truth. It's part of the truth, perhaps, but not. So it just bugs me, Butch.
I understand. I don't know if the stock market is even a good indication, because it can be pumped up and falsified while the real people are suffering.
I know.
I mean, I don't think it's an indication of all with the economy. It can be. It could be if it's run right, perhaps. But it's not. It's run dishonestly, and they prop it up continually. And I do look for the elite, if you want to call me elite. We'll put that thing to 30,000, and who knows what's going to happen after that. I just don't know, but... it's just the thing that we've seen it grow from. Well, I remember back when the stock market was 2,000 and 3,000 million. You remember that? Got to 8,000. I thought that was horrendous. Now it's almost 20. Oh, it's going on 28,000. And I can't see any difference in the market between the time I saw it at 5,000, at 28,000. I don't see that much difference in the market, but in the economy, I don't. As a matter of back when it's 5,000 in our area, when all the mines are working, people are doing better than they are now. So I don't know. I just believe it's all farce.
I agree with you. And, you know, I was watching CNBC this morning. They were talking about how Hong Kong, they had a reversal overnight. They were actually up overnight, half a percent. But, I mean, that was better than what they did the day before. They were down 3%. But the comment was, as they were saying, the Hong Kong was up, blah, 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 so many points, 139 points. And, of course, we know that was all government buying. So they don't even hide it anymore. Governments are in there buying it.
No, they don't hide it. Well, and companies buy themselves.
Companies are buying their shares. And yet everybody rejoices because they get a paper statement every month thinking that they're wealthy or that they'll be able to retire with this great retirement account. And they're just being led so blindly. It's like everything changed. And that's what bothers. It isn't President Trump that bothers me. Because he has done some good. I like some of the things that he says. Sometimes I question his sincerity and so forth. But that's me. But I think what bothers me more than anything since he became president is the idea that things have changed. That D.C. is different than what it was. That the Republican Party is different than what it was. And what's changed? These are the same lazy bunch of politicians. That we've had, they didn't change. So how can anything else change? That's what, certainly you've seen a lot of them on there riding the tail of President Trump. That's all they're doing, riding the coattails. But what has changed?
Well, I'm quite honest with you, a lot of them are getting off the coattails. They don't like what's happening. They're getting to be afraid of Trump. If the only thing I have seen has really changed is the turmoil has multiplied 50 times for what it was. And I'm not saying it's either good or bad. I'm just saying that's what's happened. And the divisions on Capitol Hill, if you want to say, I hate to use the word Capitol Hill, but the divisions have been multiplied tremendously. And more of this and more strife and more anger and more name-calling. I promise I've seen children in grade school who behave better than most politicians. And I just been a few days ago, a reporter reporting about the Republicans being in kind of disarray or something like that. And one of the Republicans who'd walked by her walked back and said, the Republicans are not in disarray. I mean, I saw that. I thought, wow, they're that touchy that they're afraid one report will do something to hurt them. And with the last elections last week, I'd say they may have something to worry about.
I mean, I don't even know anymore, but it's just it's just crazy. I mean, it truly is crazy, and it's disturbing. And
I'm going to say we'll share in a little bit from an article in the Atlantic magazine that is seriously talking civil war, and they were the first ones to predict it back in 1856, 57. They were the first ones to talk about this, or maybe 58, before it started then. We'll see. But it isn't pleasant. If I were not a believer in Christ and know that no matter what happens, I'm going to be okay because I trust Him, I'm in the battle, I'm going to keep battle as long as I can to get the word out. If I didn't have that confidence that he's still on the throne and God is still God, I'd be concerned about a lot of things because the nation's worse shape now than ever had been in my lifetime, morally and we'll say collectively, because we used to have a common desire as neighbors. I didn't care whether you're Irish, French, Polish, black, made no difference. You had a common thread in community that bound you together, and that was trust. That's no longer the case in most places.
No. Yep. And yet there's a little town close to Ocean City. It's called Rehoboth. And I was running some errands today and I was listening to the radio. And in their center, where their courthouse is, they always have, a little park and so forth. And every Christmas they have the nativity scene. Well, they voted it out and they're not going to put up the nativity scene this year. And, of course, this radio person was talking about how he's doing everything. He's calling all the Catholic churches. He's calling all the other churches and everything to, you know, try to get them to change that. So, you know, he's getting attorney, and he's going to fight it, you know, big time. So, but that's all part of it.
It is.
You know, it's, and usually no one fights back. They just let it happen. And so here you have someone that's fighting back. So yeah, I'm going to see what I can do to help support the, you know, the effort in you know, getting the nativity scene back into, you know, wherever it was in the center of town and so forth. But you know,
it's offensive to them, I guess, to even have the word, have anything about Christ, you know, and his birth or anything else. I don't do Christmas because I know it's pagan, but that ain't the point. The point of it is, they don't want anything left over that would maybe prick their conscience that there is a God.
Well, it was all about the removal of the church from the state.
Yeah, exactly, which is absurd.
It is.
Absurd. Totally absurd. People have got to understand this. There's no such thing as a non-religious government. All governments run on some religion. Right now, America's run on chaos, of course, but most of it is humanist. Humanism, by the way, according to the Supreme Court, is a religion. So if you run, if you're trying to oppose anything that we call God, they're going to run on another God today. It's humanism, atheism, which is humanism, and that's what we have today. America is still a very religious country, just not worshiping the right God.
That's correct. And you know, there was some other interesting things. You know, there was one, it's a Joy Reid, she's CNBC, one of those things. They were talking about how they're already conditioning people what to talk about at the Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Really?
You know, and you know, she was talking about when Uncle So-and-so starts talking about, you know, President Trump and so forth. You know, she basically say, you know, mock them and so forth, that they're ignorant, that they don't know what they're talking about. And it's like, Butch, it's like, who are these people?
I know.
Who are these people?
Yeah, and our country's so messed up that you probably saw this, but a lady went into a, Popeye's restaurant. It was in a black neighborhood. She was a white lady. Older lady went in and they messed up something to order, and she asked for a refund. One of the employees beat her up. Now, I'm not making it up. I'm not making it up. You can find it on the internet anywhere. Because she asked for a refund, he drug her outside and beat her up. An older lady. Now, that is the truth. You can look for yourself, folks. That's how our nation's turned into. There was a time, I didn't care what color you were, there was a mutual respect for one another. I can't imagine anyone, I don't care who they are, to beat up on an older lady because she asked for a refund. I don't get that mindset, Melody. I just don't get it.
But you know what? When we talk about how we treat one another, it really does start at the top. And
sure,
yes,
does.
It did start prior to this administration. It started with, you know, calling us deplorables. It started with Obama talking about the Pennsylvanians who, you know, grabbed their Bibles and guns and so forth. Like, you know, we were a separate group of aliens and so forth. But it doesn't help that you have President Trump calling everybody that he knows a name. He gets the same type of response from the other side. People, like you said, it's children. And so it doesn't help things. It does create more of a division and hatred.
Yes. It does. It does. Reminds me of my boys.
I can't stand it when people are called names and so forth. People think it's funny. It's not.
No, it's not funny.
Because it isn't funny. Just like Hillary, when people think Hillary calling us deplorables. I mean, that's the level that they're communicating to the people that they're speaking to.
Well, I have seen, and I understand people being angry, and to tease each other, in good fun is one thing. But when you, when you get to the point you have to swear or call names because you're angry, you lost argument already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an individual who cannot get angry without swearing is probably an IQ by 50, because he can't express himself, and he can't do it when he's swearing. he or she or he or whatever it may be, because they don't know how to express themselves clearly enough to make their point without swearing. And I see that all the time. And that to me is a sign of non-intelligence. They just have no way of expressing themselves by calling you names. You know, they call folks like you and I names because some of the names they call us are, you know, like right wingers or other extremists. We are maybe we're racist. Maybe we're white supremacists because we are white. You know, and maybe because we're Christian, they don't like that because we're white Christians. And these are ways that they cause division and disruption. And it's been done to us on purpose. For some reason, it seems that the powers in this world, especially in America, want the country divided. And they've done a great job of it.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I catch myself. I call them bleeding heart liberals once in a while.
Oh, I understand.
You know, so
I do too.
Yeah.
But so, again, when it comes to pure anger,
but I don't
like it though.
I don't like it when
understand.
I say that.
Oh, Millie, we are just people too. But at least we understand that there used to be a time when I would greet anyone. I didn't care what their name. I was just thinking that when I grew up in a little town called Monterville, West Virginia, we had people named Sawarski, Panakovich, Height, Ham, Hannah. Of course, Paul, our names, and others, Greenleaf. But I didn't look at them as being Polish
different.
Or Jewish or whatever. They were our neighbors.
Yeah. We were Americans.
Yeah, exactly. We weren't white Americans or black Americans. We're Americans.
We're Americans.
It's sad.
Fighting
but the
for
divisions
a common
come.
Cause.
That's exactly right. And people live together, and I know this for a fact. We never locked our doors. Never at night even went to bed. We didn't lock doors. I mean, things, just neighbors were neighbors. And they were there for each other if needed. Now, that's how much has changed in my lifetime. And I'm not 105 years old. Pretty close, but not quite. But to watch this dissolve breaks my heart. I'm blessed where I live right here in a little town called Nettie, West Virginia, that my immediate neighbors especially are good folks. If I go somewhere, they keep an eye on the house for us. I live in the country here. Nobody can see our house from their houses. But they can down by once in a while, you know, riding a fool or something down on our property, and they watch over it and check on the cows. And I do appreciate that. That's the kind of neighbors I have right now. What the future holds, I have no idea. But that's not true for everybody in the neighborhood, even here or anywhere else in West Virginia. There's a bad seed out there, if you want to call it that, that enjoys pillaging and stealing and drugs and whatever they can get their hands on. It's that way across the whole nation now.
Well, so anyway, I guess we're going to be heading into a break.
Are
we at break
are.
Time yet?
We are.
Oh, we are. Well, we talked that one away.
Almost, yep. I enjoyed that.
I did too, and, you know, I don't know how to solve it. I think I know where we're headed, and so we do the best that we can. And with that, we're heading into a break, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. And we'll be right back.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, our radio programs are there, archived. And, of course, you can also listen live just at the top of the page. There's a little bar there. It's not the liquid type bar. It's the bar that turns red that you can click on at 4 o'clock Eastern time, Monday through Friday. And we did a little bit of discussion. What's some news we can talk about, Butch?
Well, there's a lot of news. And by the way, I want to say this very quickly. Folks, when we talk about things that change, they really have. But thank God there's still some fine people out there. And I mean that. I get to deal with them as neighbors, and actually all over the country and some listeners around the world. And I consider Melody Cederstrom one of the fine people out there. I really do.
And I think our listeners, my customers, I mean, you guys are great.
Absolutely.
And we are different. You know, we are different from, we are set apart.
Folks like us can work together, even if we disagree on something. We still respect one another and work together. And that's the whole idea of unity that makes a difference in a country. There's a people that may not agree on everything, but they still respect one another enough to accept the differences and go on. But that's not America today. But anyway, I do want to share this because, unfortunately, it feels like January here in West Virginia today. Now, apparently, this is not going to be anywhere near the end of this weather. This is an article that I want to share. Something called it also affected the farmers again. This poor farmer, Melody, this year has beat them to death.
I know.
Those poor guys are having a hard time getting through. This is titled, Are You Ready for a Catastrophically Cold Winter? Here's what the mainstream media won't tell you. Experts are warning us that this will be a freezing, frigid, and frosty winter. And even though the official beginning of winter is still over a month away, it is already feels like in much. It already feels like that in much of the country right now. Over the next several days, it will literally feel like it is mid-January in much of the central and eastern portion of the United States. It does here. Many areas will be hit by temperatures that are 30 degrees below normal, and heavy snow is expected in some areas of the Midwest. Unfortunately, this bitterly cold weather is coming at a very bad time for corn farmers. According to the latest USDA crop progress report, only 52% of the corn is in the middle country has been harvested. So about half the corn is still sitting out there. And these extraordinary low temperatures could potentially be absolutely devastating. In essence, this cold front that threatened to put an explanation point on an absolutely horrific year for the U.S. farmers. According to the National Weather Service, we could possibly see 170 potential daily record cold highest temperatures over the next 3 days. 170, perhaps, nearly 200 record low temperatures broken. What happened to global warming? But anyway, the National Weather Service is forecasting 170 potential daily record cold high temperatures Monday through Wednesday, tweeted Weather Channel meteorologist Jonathan Ehrman, a little taste of January and November. Temperature nosedive will be a three-day process. The cold front charges across the central and eastern U.S. from Sunday into Tuesday. We are told that the low temperatures in certain portions of Texas could plunge into the teens, and all across the upper Midwest we could see temperatures that are well below zero. Of course, this is not the first wave of record cold weather to come rolling through this season. During the month of October, a couple of major blizzards roared through the Midwest, and countless new cold temperatures records were established. And unfortunately, we should expect a lot more bitter weather in the months ahead. Both the Farmer's Almanac and the Old Farmer's Almanac are projecting that this upcoming winter will be unusually cold and snowy. Not long after the Farmer's Almanac suggested it would be freezing, frigid, and frosty season, the other Farmer's Almanac has released its annual weather forecast, and it's equally upsetting. While the first publication focused on the cold temperatures anticipated this winter, the Old Farmer's Almanac predicts the excessive snowfall will be the most noteworthy part of the season. Whoopee! The Old Farmer's Almanac, which was founded in 1792, says that the upcoming winter will be remembered for strong storms, featuring heavy rain, sleet, and a lot of snow. The periodical actually used the word snowverload to describe the conditions as we can expect in the coming months. By the way, many folks don't know this, but Ben Franklin did start the almanac, by the way, in 1792. But they're predicting, they call it a snowverload for this winter, and colder than normal, obviously. Record colds already, October some places, now in other places. So this is going to mean, of course, higher fuel prices for heating fuel. It is. I mean, the supply and demand still makes a difference, and it's going to make a difference for people that do heat their house with no matter what, the natural gas or propane or fuel oil. You know, I still heat my home with wood and coal. My basement's full of wood. My woodshed's full of wood, and I got coal in the basement. So I'm fine. I'll be fine. But if I were depending on, and I do have propane in my house for backup, but propane is $2-something a gallon, and it gets colder. It's going to go up because it's going to be a scarcity of it, they're going to say. And this could put people in a position, Melody, to decide, what do we eat or do we have heat? That's not good, is it?
No, it isn't. And, it happens every winter, though. We have good winters and bad winters. But, yes. But what happens when you have this type of a winter that's being predicted, it isn't the winter itself. It's what else is going on at the same time that can make a typically easy to handle winter, even though prices are going up, more difficult. And so if folks are having money problems as is, this just adds to their already money problems. And so then you can see it have other effects here and there. So again, it's just another sign for people too that if you're not prepared for a cold winter, get ready, get prepared. Get your money set aside for those increased prices, and because I think eventually we're going to be seeing increased food prices too with what's going on in the farmers and everything else.
We're going to see increase in cattle feed and other feed because corn was crops got hit. We're going to see increase in anything it eats.
That's right. I just wanted to, I mentioned earlier, we mentioned this on yesterday's program, and then I'll let you, pick your, article that you want to talk about. But we mentioned about President Trump gave a speech today, and it was the Economic Club of New York. And, what he did is, of course, he hammered the Fed. He also claimed that if it weren't for the reluctance of the Fed, the stock market gains since the election would be significantly higher. Trump also contended that the Fed should continue to cut interest rates to make the U.S. more competitive in the global market. Those were the caps, the highlights of his speech at the Economic Forum. And, he talked about, he noted that since his election, how high the markets were. He says those numbers could be way higher if it weren't for the reluctance of the Fed. And if we had a Federal Reserve that worked with us, you could have added another 25% to those of the numbers. I guarantee you that. That's the whole point. We don't want the Fed working for us. That's the whole problem we have from the very beginning. So how do we fix things if the Fed isn't working for us? Or working with us? He says, but we all make mistakes, don't we? Not too often. We do make them occasion. Of course, no one wasn't really sure what he was saying about that, except that perhaps it was his choice to nominate the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, to the Fed. He says we're actively competing with nations who openly cut interest rates so that now many are actually getting paid when they pay off their loan, known as negative interest. Who ever heard of such a thing? Give me some of that money. Give me some of that money. I want some of that money. You know, negative interest rates isn't good. It's not good. It's not normal. It's becoming normal. But there's a day of reckoning for all of this. So yeah, you can sit and enjoy it while it lasts. You can have dinner with those who are, you know. Oh, Butch. But
I know. Well, you know, it's like throwing a little bit of gasoline on the fire. Poof! It'll make it look good for a few minutes, but it doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't.
Negative interest rates will make people, you know, it doesn't. No, it's what they've been doing for years, Melody. Doing something to ease it and make it grow a little more, and knowing that eventually it's going to totally go out. And negative interest rates will make it sound more attractive for a little bit. But it will not last. It can't last. It doesn't work that way. It's going to affect your retirement and everything else. It's going to hurt.
I mean, the Fed is the swamp. How do we...
Yes.
Oh, my phone heard me say swamp, and my phone started talking about the swamp.
but anyway. It's been a plague ever since it was created. It's not even part of the government. It's not even part of the financial system as far as the way the nation's supposed to run. The Federal Reserve is non-constitutional. It is not government, no more than the IRS is. But who knows, Melody? And who cares? The Fed's word is law, so to speak. They manipulate.
Yes, if you're gonna...
They raise it. They lower it. And Thomas Jefferson said one day we wake up with our nation sold off munders, and that's what's happened.
If you want us to have a great economy, get us away from the Fed. We don't want the Fed working with us. That's what
money.
I don't understand. I just don't get. Oh, but anyway, so that was his speech at the economic forum. So
basically, he said nothing.
To me, he did. That is important when you hear him say he wants the Fed working with us. I hope that wakes people up to say, "Hey, we don't want the Fed working with us." It shouldn't be. He's hoping for negative rates. He wants negative rates just to make us competitive. If you have to play in the gutter, in order to compete with them, I guess that's where we're headed, to the gutter. We're not already there. I mean, I guess nobody takes the high road anymore. What world am I living in?
You're Pollyanna, aren't you? But that's just pointing to a bigger bust. You know, the article. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Go ahead. The article Ron Paul wrote here is the mother of all bubbles about to pop. I didn't get it all here. I just want to share some of the things he said. When the New York Federal Reserve began pumping billions of dollars a day into repurchasing repo markets, the market banks used to make short-term loans to each other. In September, they said this would only be necessary for a few weeks. Now, folks, pay attention. A few weeks. It's already in the middle of November. Yet last Wednesday, almost 2 months after the Fed's initial intervention, the New York Federal Reserve pumped $62.5 billion into the repo market. The New York Fed continues these emergency interventions to ensure high shortages among banks don't ever happen again. Don't ever again cause interest rates for overnight loans to raise to over 10%, well above the Fed's target rate. The Federal Reserve bailout operations have increased its balance sheet by over $200 billion since September 1st. Folks, since September, $200 billion more into this. Investment advisor Michael Pinto describes the Fed's recent actions as quantitative easing on steroids. One cause of the repo market's sudden cash shortage was a large amount of debt instruments issued by the Treasury Department in late summer and early fall. Banks used resources they would normally devote to private sector lending and overnight loans to purchase these Treasury securities. The scenario will likely keep reoccurring as the Treasury Department will have to continue issuing new debt instruments to finance continuing increases in government spending. Comment here, Melody. They're issuing debt instruments. They're not money. They're debt instruments, just like the Federal Reserve note is a debt instrument. Even though the federal deficit is already over $1 trillion and growing, President Trump and Congress have no interest in cutting spending, especially in the election year. Should he win re-election, President Trump is unlikely to reverse course and champion fiscal restraint. Instead, he will likely take his victory as a sign that people support big federal budgets and huge deficits. None of the leading Democratic candidates are even pretending to care about the deficit. Instead, they are proposing increasing spending by trillions on new government programs. And that is a fact, and that is scary. I mean, some of them want Medicare for all, free education. Melody, there's no such thing as something free. Somebody has to stand up to, like you said, build up to the bar and pay for it. Somebody's got to do that. There's nothing free. But we hear it, we keep hearing, and God help us, the young generation, the millennials, are falling right in line with this. They become socialists themselves, and even worse. But Ron Paul's trying to warn us this can't go on forever, and it's not going to go on forever. People think because government's spending it, it doesn't hurt. That's government. That's not us. Wonder where they think government gets their supply from.
Yeah, I don't know
something
why.
Think about it.
Yeah, I know. You got this certain group of folks who think that, you know, government is separate, that, you know, they're there to help the people. Then you have the other group of folks who think that, you know, all the money should come from these billionaires and so forth. And, you know, I think there's other ways to address things. And it's, you know, again, people aren't getting the right information. You know, you can't get the right information when it's all politics, because the political information that's provided is all based on all of their efforts to get reelected. They only want people to know. Butch, this is so simple to figure out, and yet it's like, hello, it's people, you know, and I don't know. We read the same stories. We hear other people's opinions. We hear analysis from all these different places. In, you know, my opinion and from my readings and what I've followed and what I understand. And we all add them together, and it all comes out to the same place. It isn't good. We were facing some major, major problems. So enjoy this while you can, because it isn't going to last. Well, we've been hearing that for 30 years. Yeah. Let's go back 30 years. How much worse is it today than it was 30 years ago? It's a lot worse. And you could thank your lucky stars that something hasn't happened. Because when it does, it's kind of, I don't think people really, and I don't like to use any type of fear. I'm not trying to put any fear in you. I'm just trying to wake you up. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Butch, where are we going now?
Well, we got a lot to cover yet. We do. We truly do. And this article is, we've read about Illinois and other states for a while, but this is, I don't know how long they're going to keep these states afloat. I mean, I'm surprised, obviously, that the Fed's still afloat, but the states are hanging in somehow, too. But U.S. markets are up 200%, yet Illinois' pension hole deepens by 75%, Melody. 75%. Not even the nation's longest ever bull market run has been able to save Illinois' crumbling pension funds. Despite a tripling in the value of the S&P 500 index since July 2009, Illinois' pension shortfall has worsened by 75% during the same period. In 2009, the shortfall in Illinois' five state-run funds stood at just $78 billion. Today, the funding hole is at a record $137 billion, a $59 billion increase. That's according to the preliminary actuarial reports recently released by the state pension funds. The warning this trend provokes is stark. If pension debts in Illinois continue to grow during a period of remarkable stock market returns, imagine how those funds will fare when the next recession inevitably hits. And folks, it's coming. It's coming. And all the workers that draw these pensions, state workers in other places in Illinois and other states, are going to be up the creek. The state's overwhelming pension costs are leaving no Illinoisians unscathed. The state's total combined state and local taxes, adjusted for cost of living, are now the third highest in the country, according to Wallet Hub. Home values adjusted for inflation are negative and bucking the upper trend in the rest of the nation. And core services are being cut to make room for contributions to the pension funds. Pension costs already consume more than 25% of the state's general fund budget. No other state in the country spends that much on pensions. Now, you think this thing, 25% of the budget goes to pensions that they promise the people. And it's a Ponzi scheme. Almost all pensions are. But anyway, at just 38% funded, only Kentucky, 34%, and New Jersey, 36%, have worse funded pensions than Illinois, according to the new Pew Charitable Trust most recent state-by-state comparison. So, people who worked all their lives as firemen, policemen, teachers for Illinois, and now it looks like Kentucky and New Jersey too, could lose it all. And people who depend on those checks to eat and pay the bills and buy heating fuel in the wintertime, if this should end, and I can't see any way that's not going to with the next recession, I think it's going to be like a depression. The next time this bubble bursts, it's going to make 2008 look like nothing compared. My son and daughter-in-law live in Colorado Springs, and during the last recession, whatever you want to call it, they actually started turning off every other street light in Colorado Springs because the city trying to save money. That's how tight it got. I do believe this one will cut about all of them. And people who worked all their lives, Melody, hard. It's whatever occupation they chose for the state or the county, could lose it all. And that's really a sad thing to think about. But it really is a Ponzi scheme, just like Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. And it has to come to an end. And by the way, does. Did you hear Butch?
Yeah, and you're right. All Ponzi schemes come to an end. But I don't want to interrupt you, but we do have a caller. We have Chris calling from California. Good afternoon, Chris.
Hi, Mel and Butch. Yeah, Melody, you know, you were talking about the Federal Reserve, and, you know, we were abundant all the way up until 1913, and they pushed that on us, and it just killed the abundance of the American, the American public, you know. But, and then what'd you get? You got a progressive income tax. We immediately went to war, the first war. I mean, people need to realize this is, you know, it's about done. We don't need this anymore. We never needed this. But anyway, I wanted to ask you if you, Sunday I was watching the market open on Keiko or something like that, and they opened up, and after about an hour, I noticed that platinum and palladium did a complete switcheroo. Palladium went down $1,050. Platinum went up to $1,495. Silver went up over $6 and change. And those were those two just jumped. And then about a half hour later, everything went back. And it made me think that, you know, whoever's manipulating this, and we know it's all manipulated, a lot of it's manipulated, they must have upped those prices and sold like crazy. Then when it went down, they just went ahead and bought it back or whatever, covered their, you know. But did you see that on Sunday, right an hour or so after the markets opened?
I haven't.
They called it a glitch.
The good old glitch. You know, I didn't see it on Sunday, but I've seen markets move like that at other times where you'll see. And lots of times it'll happen when one market closes and another one opens. And you're right, they're just doing some currency exchanges in the precious metals and so forth. I mean, you'll see metals up until our market opens, and you'll see pressure on it and so forth. So, you know, I mean, that is the problem when you have the commodities traded. When you have paper trading going on, and
I don't know why anybody would buy a paper instrument. All I
got
to do is read the fine print. You know, for a quick in and out, that's one thing. But to hold the paper and think you're going to get reimbursed for with the physical, it's ridiculous. There's 1 to 500. You know, it's like 500 to 1. You know, covering, and it's just you guys are talking about Ponzi schemes. The ETFs are a bad buy. Do not do that. You get physical.
Well, it's just not the anyway. I mean, even mining shares, Chris. It's paper. You don't own gold.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. You know, and the stock market is all paper. They
it's
say
paper.
If you get the certificate with your name on it, well, that's another thing. I don't think so, because when it's chaos, paper isn't going to cut it.
Nope.
Everyone will be conveniently, you're trying to connect with someone that, a broker or someone, everyone will be conveniently gone, and you won't, you'll be sitting there holding paper, like holding the bag.
That's true.
You know?
You know, Chris, you mentioned one thing about the Federal Reserve. Right after that, we went into war. Well, war has been a way to boost the economy for a long, long time. That's why we get involved with many of them. It does boost the economy. I know people want
to
hear
that. That's
right,
Butch, and it's also a great distraction.
Sure it is. It keeps the people occupied with hooray for America and pray for the troops, and they do things behind the scenes, and the people don't know it's because they're all worried about their loved ones in war, and they should be. But it's all been a scam from the beginning.
Well, we should just stay home.
I totally agree.
Absolutely.
Complete agree. Even George Washington warned about that. I mean, come on, people. He did.
That's right.
And every war, including the Revolutionary War, we were conned into. And I'm telling the truth. I can prove it. I wouldn't say it. This is what America's become. And a nation that is in continual wars becomes an empire. And the empires eventually collapse upon themselves, and it's a huge, huge fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the sad thing, guys, is we're not going back. I mean,
no,
we've
not.
Come this far.
No.
There's no changes that can, you know, I mean, sure, they could cut spending a little bit on, you know, but that's crazy talk. They're not going to cut spending. This is playing itself out. And we can go back in history and we can look at all the different times, all these different periods, and it's all the same. You know, from the politicians, from the splitting of the people to the conquer and dividing. Or divide and conquer, I meant. And it's all the same. It's right there. We're no different. Well, and I don't think we're that far away from it.
We're definitely past the Rubicon. That is the point of no return.
Yep.
And, you know.
So,
anyway,
we can talk about the good times.
I don't know what to think anymore. Anyway.
You had some great comments, Chris. Thank you for calling.
All right, my friend. All right. God bless you both. Take care.
God bless you,
thank
too.
Thank you. Very good points. Very good points.
Yes.
You know, and he's right. I mean, and the idea that the Federal Reserve was going to, they didn't bring it in to save the economy. They brought it in to control the people.
Yep.
And it's worked very well. Rothschild once said that, you know, I guess more or less you put anybody you want to in office, but if I control the money, I control the country. That's what it boils down to, isn't it?
Pretty much. And you know, then you have the and it's the same thing. It's always the bankers. It's always the it goes on. And I believe there has to be a government. I do believe that. But you know, it's kind of like I'm not saying we're evolving, but civilizations evolve. They start out at a low spot. They better. They improve. They reach a high point, just like anything else. They peak, and then all of a sudden. Because we're all humans. We're not any different than the humans that lived how many hundreds of years before us.
No, we're not. No, we're
you
not.
You know, so it's all the same. We evolve. It's like even our country has evolved, and we hit a high point, and now it's like, you know, we peaked. We couldn't keep it.
We can keep it. Have you ever read the quote, the same Alexander Tyler, a bird's eye view of the evolution of nations? Have you ever read that?
No, I have not.
Just a few sentences here. This is a bird's eye view of the evolution of nations, from bondage to spiritual faith.
Oh, that, yes.
Yeah, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, from dependency back to bondage. That's the Bible. Hosea 4, 6, and 7 covers that very clearly. They started out, you know, following the laws of God and prospered. And Hosea 4, 7 says, but when they prospered, when they increased, they forgot me.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing I just put there in a nutshell. That's what a nation does. We rise to some prominence, and we prosper. And we become lazy, indifferent. We start voting for some things that we can get back from the government so we don't have to work. And it increases from there, Melody. I mean, you and I, in our lifetime, and we're not 150 years old, in our lifetime, we have seen the government grow unbelievably involved in people with giving and, you know, giving them this and giving them that and taking from you and I and others to give it to them.
You know,
we've seen that happen.
The other day I was talking to somebody and I was talking about, well, maybe I was complaining about how fast time is going by, and the comment was, well, you know, the Bible says in end times time will speed up. And with you just mentioning that, you know, we haven't been on Earth that long, and look at the changes that we've seen.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
It's more than the time reference that we think of when, oh, gee, time is going by fast. But look what has happened in the past 50 years from then until now. Look how quickly that happened.
Yes, absolutely. And evil doesn't just add, it multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's important to understand that. You know, the Lord God said that He will put upon a nation that's forgotten Him, that He will put evil on them to judge the evil. He'll place evil on them to judge evil. He'll let them become more evil. It multiplies. And every day somebody comes up with something brand new to make it seem more insane. And that's what happens to a nation that forgets God and forgets the founding of the Word on solid money, solid moral principles. America once was there, but it didn't last long, unfortunately. It didn't last long at all. In 1879, they killed the Constitution, basically made all corporations.
Are you there, Butch?
That's my... I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you just
I'm
for
here.
A couple seconds.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, that's just a synopsis of what's happened to this country. And again, as Chris said, The Federal Reserve, you know, was put here, and right after that, they had a war. And the war is to spread the dominance of the money powers worldwide. Each war has been there to line the pockets of the elite. Every war has been there to line the pockets of the elite. The Rothschilds would finance both sides of the war so they couldn't lose. All these things have happened. Folks, believe me, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. The root of all evil is the love of money. That's just simple as you can put it. Greed, selfishness, indifference, pure evil. It's why we're at where we are. But anyway.
And I just read a headline.
But I just want to make that point.
Yeah, I just read a headline. It's out of the Wall Street Journal. We're just about out of time. But this headline for the Wall Street Journal, a $45,000 loan for a $27,000 ride, meaning a car. More borrowers are going underwater on car loans. This guy took out a loan in 2017, then he took out another and then another. And in 2 years, each time trading in the previous car and rolling the unpaid balance into the next loan, he recently bought a $27,000 Jeep Cherokee with the $45,000 loan from Ally Financial.
Oh.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And he's not the only one who's done that.
But that's insane. That's insane.
Isn't that insane?
It's insane. You can't borrow your way to prosperity.
No, you can't. But that's exactly what so far our government has done. And it comes to an end. Just like this guy. How's he going to pay off a $45,000 loan? He's probably got a 7-year loan on this car or more. I mean, it's just like baffling. Hey, what's baffling is we're out of time already. So, ladies and gentlemen, please join us tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.